Are you glad already that you've come to the house of the Lord? I tell you, I was studying this sermon. I hope you're awake. Have you had coffee? Are you okay? You good? All right, because shake it off. If you're thinking about something else, if you're thinking about banana pudding in the refrigerator, stop it right now. Because I need you to pay attention. If you got your Bibles, turn to Luke chapter 13. And we're going to start with verse 10. And if there's anybody here this morning and you're all bound up in something, you're all bound up in fear, doubt, any kind of anything that's got you bound up to where you can't serve God, this is your day, because God will set you free. God will set you free. We're going to see that in this teaching here. So Luke chapter 13, starting with verse 10, and this is talking about Jesus. Now, I would not like for Jamie to come. Where's Jamie at? Jamie, I want you to stand right here. And Jamie is going to represent Jesus this morning, because I really wanted you to see this kind of little reenactment to kind of get an idea of what happened, how powerful this is. And Ashlyn, if you would stand just right there, and she's going to be the little woman that in this story. And as he was teaching, talking about Jesus, in the synagogue on the Sabbath, and behold, there was a woman which had a spirit of infirmity 18 years and was bowed together, and could in no wise lift herself up. Oh, honey, it's going to be more to that. Way down. Yeah, there. Down. Way. Go. No, she ought to be on her knees. She just has to be down. Oh, you're more flexible than that. Come on, down. Way down. There you go. So this woman was bowed together and could in no wise lift herself up. And when Jesus saw her, he called her to him. There you go. All the way down. No, down. 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 There. Keep going. I think I can do this. Come on. Down like this. Like this. She was like bent in half, okay? And he said unto her, "Woman, thou art loosed from thine infirmity." And he laid his hands on her, and immediately she was made straight and glorified God. Now, I want you to see something. When she comes up straight and is glorifying God, who is she looking at? She has been, okay, you guys, thank you so much. I'm getting ahead of myself here, but think about this. She has been bent over like this, like this, and she's walking, and they're probably having to guide her, and Jesus is saying, "Come to me," and she comes over, and she's like, and they're showing her how to get over there, and then all of a sudden, now this is all she has seen for 18 years. That's older than Ashlyn's been alive. For 18 years, she's walked like this. She's seen a lot of rocks. She's probably found a lot of money. She's seen a lot of feet. I want y'all to do something. Stand up. I want you to bend over as far as you can and tell me what you see. Tell me what you think you would see for 18 years. Come on, Talmadge, bend over there. Bend over. What? Yeah, you're only doing it for 2 minutes. Look at you. You guys are like, ugh. All right. You can be seated. For 18 years, she has looked at feet. She's looked at the dirt. She's looked at the grass. She's looked at rocks. She's looked at everything. She's heard things going. She's heard the birds singing above her head. She's heard the trees rustling. She's heard the people talking about how beautiful the clouds were. But then Jesus walks over. Now, let me go back a little bit here. Let me go back. First of all, I want you to notice that she was in the right place at the right time. Where was she? in the house of God. She was in the right place. She didn't know that that morning when she got up and went to church that this was going to be her day for a miracle. She didn't, you know, she must have loved going to the temple. That's all I can say. Maybe she even heard that scripture in Psalms 27 and 4 says, King David said this, he said, "One thing I have desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple." If you notice, that scripture is written by King David, and here he is, the king of Israel. He is surrounded by great wealth. He is surrounded by a lot of power. But what does he say? "One thing I have desired. One thing I have desired." What was that one thing that this king, who was surrounded by everything, what was it he desired? "That I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life." Hallelujah. Why is that? Because when you come into the house of God and you're in here with other believers that believe like you do, there's no telling what the world's going to happen. I believe that you could be healed. I believe you could come in here bowed over to where you feel like you're touching your feet. And just think about it. You, before the service is over, you could be standing up straight, holding your hands up high and praising God. Hallelujah. So she was in the right place at the right time. Some think that this woman may have had arthritis or curvature of the spine, but she was bent over with this deformity for 18 years. She had been afflicted with a spirit of infirmity. So this was a demonic attack. Jesus said the spirit was an evil spirit of infirmity. But also notice she was the daughter of Abraham. The Bible says, whom Satan hath bound. But she needed healing. And even though she was in this terrible condition and was probably experiencing pain, even that day when she was standing there, she made her way to the house of God. The Bible says in Matthew 6:33, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these other things will be added to you." Notice that while she was in the right place, the temple, Jesus saw her. If she hadn't have been there that day, Jesus, you know, he was there when she needed him to be. He was there, and he called her to come to him. She had a choice right there to make. Now, see, she could have stood there. She could have stood there and said, "But Jesus, I've been over, and I don't even know where you're at. I would have to follow your voice. Jesus, can't you see? Can't you see, Jesus, that I've been over? And I'm too tired to come all the way over there?" We make too many excuses today about why we can't come to church. We make too many excuses about why we can't make our way to Jesus. "I'm too tired to go to church. This is my only day to sleep in. My cousin's visiting." My cousin, she's visiting again. How many times has that cousin been visiting you? How many times has that uncle and that aunt been visiting? It's time, I'll just say it. I don't care. I'll just tell you right now, it's time you tell your aunt and your uncle and your cousin, whoever, you need to come to church with me. If you're going to show up on Sunday morning, you're going to go to church. And that's how it is. We go to church in this house. And if you want to come and visit me on Sunday morning, that's where you're going. You're going to church. So pack up your little dress and or whatever, and you get ready because you're going to church. Now, they'll do one of two things. They'll come ready to go, or they won't show up at your house on Sunday anymore. But we need to start making some decisions, and we need to make some standards, and we need to let everybody know, in this house, we go to church. Some people say, "Well, I have a twinge in my pain, or a pain in my neck, or my whatever, you know. It's raining. It's snowing. I don't have anything to wear. I can't go to church." Honey, if you come in here in a burlap bag, we'll love you. We'll love you. We don't care. We just want to see you. She didn't let anything keep her from making her way to Jesus. They probably had to help her. But she made her way to Jesus. Then she heard Jesus say those wonderful words. Here she had been bound for 18. You all bent over for a few minutes, and I can tell you were struggling with it. For 18 years. Anybody here 18 years old? Anybody? Well, no, not y'all, but anybody over here, 18? Okay. Okay. Scotty, you don't raise your hand. No. All right. So, Ashlyn, you're 17. Who all is 17? All right, y'all that are 17, stand up. She had, look at them. She had been bent over longer than they've been alive. Do you understand? You understand? You all bent over for 2 minutes and you were grunting. She was bent over longer than they have been alive. Thank you. That's a long time. That's a long time to be that. That the spirit of infirmity had come against her for 18 years. Satan will come against you, and all of a sudden you're thinking, well, this is just a chronic illness. I don't think I'll ever be rid of it. That's a lie from hell. I don't care if you've had that chronic illness for 15, 20 years. Jesus is still the healer, and he will heal you. Don't settle for what you think you have to live with. People are saying, well, I've had it this long, and I guess I'm good. And first of all, quit claiming it. Quit saying my arthritis. Quit saying my allergies. Quit saying my backache. It's not yours. The devil gave it to you. You don't want it. So quit claiming it. I dare you. Hallelujah. From now on, when somebody says, well, how you doing there? Instead of saying, well, my arthritis is kicking up. You know, what? Instead of saying this foul devil arthritis is coming against me, but I just want to tell you right now that I know the greater one lives in me, and I know I'm healed. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And then, so Jesus laid his hands on her. She stood up. She was bent over. She was bent over like this. And there's Jesus right in front of her, and she stood up, and she's looking at the Messiah. Woo-hoo! Hallelujah. But the most important thing was she started glorifying God. Jesus didn't have to say, now that you're healed, start glorifying God. Nobody had to tell her that. She got delivered, and she started saying, praise the Lord, hallelujah, hallelujah. Can you imagine how happy she must have been? 1 minute she's looking at the ground, and the next minute she's looking into the eyes of the Messiah, the one who healed her. She's looking into the eyes of Israel's deliverer. She's looking into the eyes of the healer, Jesus. But she was in the right place at the right time that day. She had made her way to the house of God. The one who had compassion on her and healed her was there. Because she got up and she went to that temple that day, even in her deformed condition, she had an encounter with Jesus. She had an encounter with the Son of God that day. That's why we ought to come in here expecting to be healed. We ought to come in here expecting to be set free. I want to tell you something. Some of the biggest victories I've ever had has been in the house of God. I remember one time, it was on a Sunday morning. We were pastoring down in East Baltimore, and that's inner city. And I was under a heavy attack of fear that morning. I don't know how. It was so strong against me. You talk about being bound up. I was bound up with fear. And these two women of God that were known to pray, really pray, the one of them came by me, and I couldn't even speak to her because I was crying so hard, I couldn't even get the words out. All I said to her was, pray. That was on Sunday morning. That night, we went to church again, and right in the middle of the service, or right at the beginning, somewhere around in the service, there was a message in tongues went forth, and the interpretation, and in that interpretation, God set me free just like that. I mean, I walked out of there with a bounce in my step. I don't even know if it felt like my feet were quite touching the ground. Just because I was in the Lord's house and I had an encounter with Jesus. And he set me free. Hallelujah. I believe that Jesus was moved with compassion when he called her over there. Because Hebrews 4:15 says, For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Jesus, he feels what you, he loves you. He knows what you're going through, and he loves you. He's not out there saying, well, you know what, you just deserve it. I know what you did last week, and you deserve all the pain you're getting. No, when you kneel down and you say, Lord, if you confess your sins, the Bible says he is faithful and just to forgive you of your sins. And you cry out, you say, Lord, I need mercy. Please help me, God. I'm telling you, he is right there. He is for you. He is not against you. Religion will tell you that you haven't worked hard enough, but that's not what the Bible says. Why do you think we sing that song, Amazing Grace? How sweet the sound. She was probably looking all around. She may have looked at all of her loved ones. Maybe her loved ones were standing there. And she's walking up to them and going, hey, yeah, I've been looking at your feet for years. Look at you. Hey, you're a good-looking kid. You're good-looking. Look at you. You need to shave a little bit, but you are a nice, good-looking guy. She's looking around. I'm thinking she went outside, and she's looking up in the sky. She's looking at the birds. She's looking at the clouds. She's looking at the trees. She hasn't seen these things for 18 years. Now she's seeing again. That's the same way with the devil. He will deceive you. He will blind you. He will make you think. Now, I want to say something here. He will make you think you have done something so bad that you cannot be forgiven. And also, he will make you think that if you tell anybody what you've done, then you will be in big trouble. So the more you hold on to it, the more that you keep it close to you, the more of a grip he's going to put on you. But when you go to somebody that you can trust, and teenagers, I'm really saying this to you because I've been there. When you go to somebody that you can trust, somebody that you know will not scorn you or tell your stuff, and you say, listen, I've done this thing. I don't know what to do. I feel bad about it, and I want you to help me pray. What you've done is you've just exposed it to the light, and now God can get in it. Now God can get in it, and you're going to be victorious. You're going to come out of it. So here she was, been 18 years, but now she's free. But not everybody's happy about it. In verse 14, it says, and the ruler of the synagogue answered with indignation because that Jesus had healed on the Sabbath day and said unto the people, this man talking, there are 6 days of which men ought to work, and them therefore come and be healed, and not on the Sabbath. There are some religious people out there, they're not going to be happy about your newfound freedom. You know that? There's some people that they're so bound up in legalism. I had a minister tell me just the other day that when he was just a young minister himself, he said that he went to this minister's meeting, and there was a pastor there, and he said, yes, I pray 6 hours every day, I think he said, every day, and I pray 6 hours and all of this kind of stuff. Well, hey, yay for you. That is good. If you could pray 6 hours a day, good for you. I don't. I'll just tell you it right now. I do not pray 6 hours in a row. I don't, wow. You know, so this young preacher is standing there like, oh, I got to pray 6 hours. See, right there was like a thing of tradition trying to come on him, a thing of religion trying to fasten itself on him, thinking I've got to pray 6 hours every day. But then, I probably shouldn't say this, and prayer is great. Prayer is wonderful. But sometimes you got to come out of the basement and you got to come out of the prayer room and get some work done. You know, they didn't stay in the upper room. When the Holy Ghost came, they came out of the upper room and went out into the streets and started ministering. It's a good thing. If you could pray 6 hours a day, that's great. That's wonderful. But I'm telling you, don't worry if you don't. And don't let nobody put condemnation on you. If somebody says, well, I read 15 chapters a day, and you're only reading half a chapter, don't worry about it. If you're only reading 3 verses a day, but you're being fed, good. That's good. That, see, what that is religious thinking. That they're trying to, some people, I don't even know why I'm talking about this. It's not in my sermon. Some people think they've got to punch a time clock with God. Okay, God, I have read my three chapters today. Click. I have prayed an hour. Click. Like a time clock. Click. And God, I gave $5 to the poor. Click, click. And I've done all these things. Surely, God, you are pleased with me. Those things are great. Those things are wonderful. If you're doing it in the right way, if you are giving because it's in your heart and you just can't help it, and you're looking in the bottom of your purse, you see somebody and you're like, man, I just wish I had $5 to give to them. Oh my goodness, there's $5. I know I was going to McDonald's, but I'd rather give this money to this person because they need it. Here you go. God bless you. God told me to give you that money. Be blessed. That's different. Instead of this thing of, here's $5. God bless you. Go and be on your way now. You know, what is that? Put your money away. I'm just saying. Now, not everybody, like I said, is going to celebrate your victories. And this religious leader got indignant because Jesus had dared to heal this precious woman on the Sabbath. I believe it was when I was over in Israel. They told me that that some of the Jewish people are so legalistic, even now to this day, that, and Marianne, if she just went out, she could probably tell some more about this too, that if you spit on the ground hard enough and it causes like a little groove in the ground, man, that'd be pretty hard to spit. But anyway, if you did and it caused a little furrow in the ground, they will accuse you of working on the Lord's day because you have just furrowed the ground. So this is what Jesus was dealing with here. And so Jesus answered this man. He didn't coddle him. He didn't try to reason with him. And can I just, I can't believe I'm saying all this. Can I just say to you, there's sometimes you have to trust your leaders. You may see somebody and they're going through a thing and it looks as though or whoever, you know, is being whatever, maybe being a little bit straightforward with them. You don't know everything. See, it's like being an armchair quarterback. You're just watching the game. You're not playing the game. And there's sometimes that pastors have to make a call that, you know, the congregation may not understand. And no, nothing like that's going on, so don't think there's anything going on like that. I'm just telling you, sometimes pastors have to do things, and you may be like, well, I don't understand. You don't have to. You know what? Unless it concerns you, don't worry about it. Just pray for us. But sometimes, and you can't always coddle people. That's what I'm trying to tell you. Sometimes I can't always coddle people. Sometimes I have to tell it to them straight because I love them. So look how straightforward Jesus is. In verse 15, the Lord then answered him and said, thou hypocrite. Okay, now I have never called none of y'all hypocrite. I have not done that. Hopefully I never will. But Jesus looked at this man and said, thou hypocrite, doth not each one of you on the Sabbath day lose his ox or donkey from the stall and lead him away to watering? You see, this man was placing animals and men, man-made traditions over the needs of this woman. He didn't stop to consider that Jesus had called her a daughter of Abraham. He didn't seem to care that she had been bound by Satan for 18 long years. And I love the thing that Jesus said. I love this. He said this to this religious man. He said, and ought not this woman, being a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan has bound, lo, these 18 years, be loosed from this bond on the Sabbath day? Ought she not be loose? Ought you not be loose? I know that's probably not right English, but hallelujah. If you've been going through something and everything's against you and you're bound up in whatever religious tradition, you're bound up in legalism, you're bound up in nicotine, you're bound up in drinking or drugs or sexual something, whatever, let me just tell you, Jesus is saying, ought not this child of God be loosed? You can be a child of God and still have things come against you. As long as we're in this world, you're going to be tempted. As long as we're in this world, there's going to be times you're not going to do everything right. But Jesus said, ought not this child, this woman be loosed? And why did he say that? He noticed that he said, ought not this daughter of Abraham? Why did he bring Abraham into the mix? Because Abraham was a covenant man. He was in covenant. Jesus is talking about covenant here. God had a covenant with Abraham. And when Jesus called this woman a daughter of Abraham, he was talking about her covenant rights. I know I've talked about this and everything, but I can't help it. This story reminds me of David. When David was getting ready to, he came in and the big crowd here, Saul and his army, they had been facing, Goliath, for 40 days. And so, and they would run down, they would get themselves all geared up and, we're going to get them. You know, they would talk themselves out. Yeah, trash talk. Oh, yeah. And they would run down the hill and they would look and Goliath would say, send me a champion that we may fight. And as soon as he would say that, they'd all run back up the hill, you know. Now, every one of these men had covenant with God, but they were not walking in it. Every one of them was in covenant. They had covenant rights. But David, a shepherd boy that had been on the backside of the mountain with his harp, singing to God, watching over the stinking sheep, and killing himself a bear and killing himself a lion, but he knew his covenant rights. He goes down there with them, and as they run back up the hill, he looks up at this Goliath. He said, who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he would dare to come against the armies of Israel? Who is this guy? He's not in covenant with God, but I am. Oh, hallelujah. When you get born again, hallelujah. When you came up here or when you knelt and you asked Jesus Christ to come into your life and the blood of Jesus covered you, you had just entered into covenant with Almighty God. Hallelujah. So when the devil comes in against you, and he comes in your house, and you've been serving God, you're walking with God, and all of a sudden you're under attack. We need to rise up at that point and say, you are trespassing. You have no right in me. I told the devil last Sunday, I got up and the room was spinning. Or it was Monday. I don't know, it was Monday or Sunday or Monday. The room was spinning. And not in my power, not in my name, but through the name of Jesus, I said, Satan, you are dismissed. Take this thing and leave. Get out of my house. And it left. Why? Not because I think I'm so whatever. In myself, I'm nothing. The Bible says my righteousness is a filthy rags. But through my covenant rights with Jesus Christ, I can tell the devil, get out. You don't coddle him. You don't talk to him. I've said this before, and I'll say it again. You cannot outthink or outreason the devil. So if you're worrying and these thoughts are going through your mind a mile a minute, what are you going to do? What are you going to do? What about this? What about that? What are you going to do? What are you going to do? Anybody know what I'm talking about? That's when you say with your mouth, I don't know what I'm going to do, but I know who's got my answers. I know who I serve, and he has got all of my answers, and he is going to bring me forth as pure gold. Hallelujah. There are many things that you could be bound up with: fear, doubt, sexual sins, debt. Be bound up in debt. Addictions. But Jesus said, she ought to be loosed. This woman ought to be free from this bondage. She ought to be healed. And I have good news for you. He's the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. Jesus loves you. He cares about you. He's still in the healing business. He still ministers his grace and power to those who suffer from the oppression of the devil. You can be free. You can be free. You can smile again. You don't have to be depressed. You don't have to be in fear. You don't have to be surrounded and wrapped up in a bunch of debt. Because debt will bring you down. Debt will make you worry. Am I right? Can God take care of us in 2011? Can he? Absolutely. He knows where all the diamond mines are. He knows where all the gold mines are. The Bible says he owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. He created the galaxies. He created everything. I believe he knows how to get money to you. I believe he knows how to give you ideas to know how to get money. I believe that the Bible says that the wealth of the wicked is laid up for the righteous. We have any righteous people in here today? Oh, y'all don't even know what I'm talking about. Do we have any righteous people in here today? The Bible says that the wealth of the wicked is laid up for you. Some old pimp's got your money. Some old nasty movie star or nasty singer, one of them old nasty people that look just nasty, they've got your money. The Bible says the wealth of the wicked is laid up for the righteous, and I'm telling you, God can do a transfer of funds. Sometimes I look at the money that I get because there's little messages printed on there. It would surprise me if one day I would get one that says, the wealth of the wicked is laid up for the righteous. Here you go, Sandy. Woo! I'll take it. It's mine. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Jesus loves you, and he still is ministering to people today. He's still ministering healing. Mark 9:23, Jesus said unto him, if you can believe, all things are possible to him that believes. Not everybody, it's not possible to everybody who just thinks a lot about it. It's not possible to those who just talk about it. It's possible to those who believe. And I'm going to close with this. I believe that it's still God's will to heal. I believe it's always God's will to heal. Because Matthew 8:17 says that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, he himself, who is Jesus, took our infirmities and bore our sicknesses. He took your infirmities and he's already bore your sicknesses. So what are we doing with them? Right? Everybody stand. Close your eyes. Bow your heads. No moving around right now. No talking. This is God's time. There may be somebody here this morning and you're not a Christian. You know, you've never asked Jesus Christ to come into your heart and life. Oh, I tell you what, this could be the most exciting day of your life. I'm telling you, the moment you ask Jesus to come into your heart and life and you decide to serve him for the rest of your life, I'm telling you what, you've just made an eternal decision. We're all going to be somewhere 1 billion years from now. We're all going to be somewhere 10 billion years from now. We're all going to be alive and somewhere, according to the Bible, billions of years from now. And this is why I'm saying you can make an eternal decision today. And the good news is I would love to introduce you to Jesus Christ. It's not a mistake you're here. You're not here by accident. He brought you here. I'll tell you that right now. He knew before you ever born that you were going to be here this day. Is there anyone here this morning and you're saying, I would like to ask Jesus Christ to come into my heart and life. I'd like to meet this one named Jesus. I'd like to invite him into my life. Anybody here this morning, just raise your hand. Just raise your hand and I would like to pray for you. Anyone here this morning? You're saying, I need this one, Jesus. I need him in my life. My life's all messed up. I've messed it all up. And I need him in my life. Anybody here this morning? I don't ever want to rush this, anyone at all. Jesus loves you. You've not done anything so wrong that he can't forgive you. I promise you that. You have not done anything so wrong that he can't forgive you. That's what the Bible says. Anybody this morning, that you would just raise your hand and say, Pastor, pray for me because I want to know Jesus. Hallelujah. Anybody at all? Is there anyone here this morning? You've been fighting some bondages. You've been bound up with something that you can't seem to get free of. I believe that this morning you can be set free. Just like this woman, she was set free. And as far as we know in the Bible, she was never bound up again. And I believe that he would say to us this morning that are saved, ought not this child of God of mine be free? If you're here this morning and you've got some things that you feel like you just need to shake off of your life so that you can get closer to God, raise your hand. Yes. Anybody else? Anyone else? Yes. Buddy, you play me some music there, and yeah. And all those, that, you know, it probably applies to most of the people in the church. We could all be a little more free this morning. I want everybody that will, just come on up. Everybody that you will, just come on up. And I want you to just pray. Just draw close. Everybody, you're a everybody. Come on up. I just want you to just have some quiet time, you and God. Just pray. Just bow your heads. And just say, Lord, if there's anything in your life that you know that you need to shake off, I challenge you right now to lay it down. Lay it down. Lay it down. It's not worth it. Jesus is coming. Jesus is coming any moment of any day, any second now. He could come before the service, before we say our final amen. Jesus could come. And if you're here and you've been dabbling in things that you know is not pleasing to God, I challenge you right now, pray. Just pray. Say, Lord, I'm willing to lay this thing down. I need you to give me the strength to do it, that I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me.